Welcome to Shelve Under Podcast, a Toronto Public Library podcast for readers, writers, and book nerds. That's right, today we're going behind the scenes at the library. I'm Wendy Banks, and on this episode, my co-host Jason Bizadian and I will take you on a tour of the secret workings of the library. We'll chat with the people who get the books all the way from the publisher's catalog into your hands.
Welcome to Shelve Under. I'm Jason.
And I'm Wendy.
And today we're going to do something a little bit different than our normal episodes. We're going to be talking to a lot of Toronto Public Library staff, but not the frontline staff you might be familiar with that you meet in the branch. We're going to talk to some of the behind-the-scenes people. So we had a question, which was,
how do books get from a publisher onto our shelves? Like, what are all the steps that a book has to take to get to you?
Who buys the book? Who puts the labels and barcodes on it?
Yeah, who drives it around town? Who, you know, what else has to happen to a book in order to, for it to be in a library? Oh, we went to our Ellesmere sorting hub out in the East End of Toronto,
which kind of is in charge of all of these different elements for the entire system.
And it's kind of a magical place. Like, it's did you not find that it was kind of
It
impressive?
Truly is. If you're a library nerd, like we clearly are, yes. There's this massive sorting machine.
It kind of looks like a little roller coaster, but for books.
And it sorts all the books for all the branches in the entire city before they get sent out.
So all the new books come through there. So there's this new book smell everywhere, and there are trucks of books as far as the eye can see. It's pretty neat. So we went around there and we talked to a lot of different people who were involved in different aspects of getting a book ready to go out into the library. And we're going to just launch right into it. We're going to start with one of the people who is responsible for buying the books, deciding which books we're going to get to put in the libraries. And that person is the chair of the Adult Materials Selection Committee.
I'm Valerie, and I am the Senior Collections Specialist for Adult Materials at TPO.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you do on a day-to-day basis?
I meet with publishers 3 times a year in batches of meetings because we follow the publishing cycle, mm-hmm. which has 3 seasons. I also meet once a week with the selectors who select materials for the TPO. And we meet every Friday, and the bulk of my week is spent preparing for that meeting on Friday. So we meet to review a selection of books that we're ordering that week. They're divided by groups of publishers, and you know, I investigate those titles before we order them, so I'm looking for reviews. I'm adding notes from the meetings that I've had with the publishers previously, so they'll give me information about print runs, about things they know about the author, about publicity plans, and I incorporate that into our meeting so that the people who are doing the selections actually know what to anticipate from that book. So then we meet on Fridays and we discuss all of those things. In addition, I do some searching. So I'll mm-hmm. look at book titles and I'll look at authors. I'll see how previous things by them have gone out. I'll see how books on a certain topic are circulating, whether there's a big demand or whether we have enough. And all those considerations go into our ultimate decisions that we make on Fridays.
I work in a branch, so I find this stuff really, really interesting. My question is, I'm sure budget is a concern, but outside of budget, what are other factors that you look at when you're trying to determine to buy or not to buy a book?
So budgets are an issue, and every branch has its own budget. Mm-hmm. But aside from budget, there's a lot of factors. there's a lot of factors. So one of them is the reputation of the author.
Right.
And the success of their previous titles. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that's a key thing. The other is things like interests among the public in various subjects. So, you know, lately there's been a lot of interest in books about truth and things that are directly related to what's going on in the U.S. and in the world in general. Okay. Then there's things that really catch on for some reason, whether it's to do with like a kitchen appliance, mm-hmm. like the spiralizer from a few years ago, stuff like that, right? There's also perennial topics, self-help. We have a huge use of our self-help titles. Then there's fiction. Fiction genres come and go in popularity. Mm-hmm. And so you're always having to be aware of what the latest and most popular form of fiction is, right? So, and I've lived through a lot of these, right? vampires, S&M, and now this, the psychological thrillers and so on. So you're having to be aware of the zeitgeist a bit, of the currents in the popular culture is something. The other thing that's a little unusual for me, because I've been doing this for a long time, is books by people who have no real publishing history, mm-hmm. but who have a history in social media, for example. Oh. So they have a blog, they have Instagram presence, they have you know, which seems to me an improbable number of followers on these various sites. So I do spend a lot of my time actually looking at people's blogs and vlogs. And it's not a traditional way of searching for information about them. I also frequently will read, there's a lot of books that were originally magazine articles, right? Uh-huh. That's another way of getting a book published, is write a great article for Harper's. So I will go and read those articles or a portion of them to get a sense of how they write and how interesting those articles are, right? Because I think that's a great way to get a sense of how many copies we should be buying and so on.
I did not start this interview thinking I would be talking to somebody who has their finger on the pulse, but that's definitely the impression I'm getting, which is fantastic.
Well, we try. And my team contributes to that too, because they will also do that kind of investigative work. So it is a bit like, we call it disappearing down the rabbit hole a bit, because you do that in uh-huh. order to find information, because otherwise you're just picking a number out of nowhere, right?
Right.
It is a bit of a guessing game, how many copies we should buy.
Yeah.
But we do try to make it as educated a guessing game as we can.
I think I kind of have an answer from what you just said, but what's something you really like about your job?
I love that aspect of it, right?
Yeah.
I'm a pretty curious person, and I think that's one of the things that you need to have to do the work that I do and my team does. You need to be curious and interested, and also a bit dogged, right? Because it's pretty relentless. Mm-hmm. There's just wave after wave after wave of books. And you have to also spend a lot of time looking through data, right? So,
right.
You know, we're trying not to buy blindly when that's possible. So mm-hmm. you're looking to see, you know, how did the previous book go out? Where did it go out? Where didn't it go out? You're moving things around a little bit. You're trying them in different locations. If something didn't go out well at one of your branches, you're moving it to another one to see how it does there. So I would say that discipline, doggedness, and curiosity are the three key elements, really, to do what we do.
What are some of the sources that you look at when you are determining, kind of, is this something that's in the zeitgeist?
I'm a great believer in reviews. Like, I try to find reviews when I can. Mm-hmm. But we'll also look, if there's no reviews in, like, a, you know, a knowledge source, then we'll look at, I look at things like Goodreads, for uh-huh. example. You have to mitigate some of what you read there, right? Because you're not really sure of the source. But you can kind of get a general sense from a site like Goodreads,
right,
to see how something is being received. And this is really useful for debuts where we don't really have much information. So I'll often look there. So writers do something which is called blurbing or endorsing a book, right?
Sure.
And I always look at the endorsements, because that will tell me something about that particular writer and book. So,
yeah,
you know, if that book is being blurbed by someone who I know and admire as a writer, I will be impressed by that. That will tell me something. It also tells you, you know, who that book is being written for, mm-hmm. because of those writers who are endorsing it, right?
So reviews do matter, and
yeah,
especially blurbs,
yeah,
actually do matter quite a bit, it seems like.
I think they, you know, and I know that's, it's a bit of a game,
sure,
in the industry, is like, who's going to blurb this book? But it also does tell you something. It's not like it's not like you'll go, oh wow, that's being blurred by so and so, we should buy a lot of copies. But it is like, okay, I know the audience for that book.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us something that somebody might not know about your job?
I don't know how to say this, but one of the things that happens when you meet with the same group of people every week, which I do, mm-hmm. and we've been meeting together, most of us, for many, many years, is they kind of become another family.
Yes.
And you begin to know people's strengths and specialties. So we sort of have, you know, the committee is made up of people who have their own interests And so that's very interesting, right? So I have one person on my committee who knows a great deal about sports, which I do not. So you've come to rely on his advice about that kind of thing. And also just people's behaviors. And it is kind of like a family in that sense. It's very intense work. And it's also, you know, you spend a lot of time just looking at a laptop screen. Everyone is, and you're looking for small things and large things. And you have a lot of things to keep in your mind. From my perspective, I'm looking at the total number of copies that we get. So I have to have sort of a big picture view of what we think the system will need. And the selectors have a different view. They have a view of their 15 or 20 branches that they order for, and of the specific needs and communities that they're selecting for.
Wonderful. I think we'll leave it there then. Okay. Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
So now we've seen how books are chosen, but then once they've been selected, we have to actually go get them.
We have to have someone get them for us, purchase them. So
that's right. So next we're going to talk to Mike in the acquisitions department.
My name's Mike Knowles. I'm a collections management analyst here in the acquisitions department of the library. What else do you want? You want to know what I do?
I sure do, yeah. So what do you kind of do on a day-to-day basis?
Well, I come in and first thing I do is I check the email to see if there's any problems with orders, and I confirm that orders have been received by our vendors. And then I can move on to the fancier things like ordering material and fixing problems and making sure all the finances are in order.
Now, when you're talking about ordering, are you the person determining what to order, or are you literally the person who's ordering what someone else is telling you to order?
No, I am ordering what someone else is telling me. I used to have no idea where these orders came from. They just came out of the cloud or out of the blue sky. but there's the team of selectors that send, they're called carts. They're basically those shopping carts like you would have on Amazon.
Okay.
They send them to me and I make a little file out of it and I feed that into our system and it becomes an order that eventually makes its way to people in the branch.
So what kind of problems might you encounter when you're saying problems?
Well, there's all sorts of problems. A common one with ordering is that there's a holding code error. A holding code is a little, it's like a tag that tells where this item is going to go. Is it going to go to North York Central's Children's Collection, or is it going to go S. Walter Stewart's Adult, that kind of thing. So there's sometimes there's problems there where a code has been used by a selector and it doesn't actually exist. That branch doesn't have that collection. So I have to figure out, well, first I'm presented with an error message saying there's a problem with this order, and then I have to figure out what that problem is.
Right.
So I have to sift through sometimes 100 or so lines to figure out where this problem is, and then I fix it. I put in something that does exist. There's also problems with vendors saying we don't have this item anymore or we can't get this. Like I order multilingual collection material, and we're ordering from India, and we can't get that item from India anymore. We have to either go to someone else or we're not getting it at all. Because
there's a lot of potential.
Oh, there's issues. Problems. That's just scratching the surface. There's a lot of problems that pop up.
So with that in mind, is there something you particularly like about your job?
I am able to feel like I'm making a contribution and solving problems. You know, I feel like Harvey Keitel in Pulp Fiction. I'm the fixer. I'm the wolf. You know, I can come in and make problems go away.
Just the last question I have is, what's something most people might not know about your job or your work or the department even?
I think most people don't even know this department exists. We're kind of the men in black in a lot of ways. I moved to a branch for a few months a couple of years ago, and I mentioned that I worked in acquisitions, and it was just blank faces. What is this? What? That's what I would say people don't know, is they don't know we even exist.
That's why we're here today, to tell everybody that you do exist.
Thank you.
I'm really talking to a real person. Thank you for taking the time today.
Oh, that's no really problem. Great. My pleasure.
was Mike the Fixer. It really illuminated a position that I didn't know a heck of a lot about, I gotta say.
Yeah, I didn't actually know anyone did that until we did this interview. So that was kind of cool. We've now seen what happens with selection and acquisition, but there's another step that the book has to go through.
This is cataloging. So Wendy, how are your cataloging skills?
They are virtually nil. How about you, Jason?
They are just slightly higher than nil, but I know of them.
I think you studied cataloging in school, did you not?
I did indeed, and I've done some cataloging, but it doesn't really apply to how they do it here because everyone has a little bit of a different system they use or a house system that they use.
So obviously cataloging is when you describe the book in the computer so that people can find it.
Right, which you think is very simple, right? But when you start talking about some authors who have, let's say, a very common name, if you have a John Smith, how do you know that John Smith, who wrote the book on Roman history, is the same John Smith who wrote the local mystery book that you're looking to read?
So really what it comes down to is before we were talking about all the millions and millions of books that you have to choose between and select. And now it's also, okay, once you've selected those, you have to find them again.
You have to be able to find them again, which ties right nicely into our next interview subject, which is Kelly from our cataloging department.
My name is Kelly Bueller. I'm the senior department head of cataloging. There are two of us, so I'm one half.
Can you just briefly explain to the average person what cataloging actually entails?
Okay, so when we catalog, what we're doing is we're providing access to things for people so that they can find different materials in our catalog. Mm-hmm. And the things we think of when we catalog are that we want people to be able to find an item. We want them to be able to identify it and to be able to distinguish it from similar items, to select it so that they can find that exact book and then to obtain it so they can place a hold on it or whatever. So we have to differentiate, for example, between different books on cats or mm-hmm. something, you know. And so we provide access points for the books. So the title is obvious access point, the author, subject headings, alternate titles sometimes. And we also describe the item. So we'll say, you know, it's 300 pages. It has color illustrations. If it's a DVD, we'll say it's an hour and 20 minutes. We'll give the rating. So we'll give all types of information about that item so you know that it's the actual item that you want to have.
What is something you really enjoy about your job and the work you do?
I like all the detail involved in the job, and I like just exploring all these different standards. And I guess I get a sort of perverse pleasure in knowing all these things that nobody else cares about.
What's something about your job that people may not know or something you'd like to highlight?
I think I'd like to just tell people about how cataloging in particular is really guided by international and national standards.
Yeah.
We don't just kind of make this stuff up. We have IFLA, which is the International Federation of Library Associations and Institutions, which has members, the Library of Congress, Library and Archives Canada, British Library. So they're all feeding into this international organization. We follow all these international kinds of standards so that libraries all over the world can share their records and be able to use each other's records because we're all more or less following the same standards.
TPL being such a huge system, mm-hmm. people maybe don't even aren't aware of how big we are, especially mm-hmm. in the Canadian market, but even in the world market, I would probably say. So what kind of weight do we have, or what kind of implications do we have when we're involved in these processes?
One thing that we have to do when we're part of this larger machine is that we have to be really thoughtful about local things that we're going to add to our records. So if we're sharing records with other people, we want to make sure that we're following the same rules they are. Mm-hmm. But sometimes we need to do something a little different because of our system. So, for example, we have local tags, for instance, for things like Canadian or biography, so that the processing department will see that tag and think, oh, I got to put a yellow biography label on this, or I've got to put a maple leaf on this, so that when people are browsing the shelves, they can easily pick out, you know, what's a biography or a Canadian book. But we got to be careful about doing that kind of stuff.
Kelly, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. This has been great.
You're welcome.
If you don't know a lot about cataloging, it's might be a little bit hard to follow, but the important thing is just we're trying to make sure that the records that we have could be read by anybody in any library system in North America, and hopefully in the world practically, and that they're the same exact system and format. We have decided the book that we want to buy.
Yep.
We have now ordered the book that we want to buy.
That's right.
And we have created a record for that book.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have the actual book yet.
That's right. We don't. Where is the book?
How do we get that book, and who is responsible for getting, actually physically receiving a copy of that book? This has all been up in the air and online and virtual at this point, but now we're getting into the nitty-gritty of actually dealing with the physical item.
Okay, there are multiple people who get the books, but one of the people, the person we talked to, is Cheryl.
My name is Cheryl. I'm a shipping and receiving clerk, and I've worked for the library most of my life. I started out in the public service, and now I work behind the scenes.
So can you kind of walk us through what you do on a day-to-day basis?
Okay. So I work in the acquisitions department, and when books are delivered to the library, I help unload the trucks, and then I unpack them, and we distribute them to the different branches where they're going to go onto the shelves.
Is there something that kind of drew you towards this?
I like a physical job. So for me, that's top of the list. I don't have to sit down. So I get to walk around and move stuff around, lift stuff all day long. And I really enjoy that. The other huge perk is that I get to see all of the new books as they come in.
Is there anything you've seen that's like really still surprising to you, or that was really like, whoa, I can't believe there's a book on that?
That happens pretty frequently. I'm you know, maybe every other week or something like that. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Like, for example, last week there was a book that came in. It was all about takeout coffee cup lids and the different designs of them, whether they flipped up, whether you had to press a tab. It was like, okay, somebody took the time to research this and make a book out of it. It was fascinating.
You know, I ordered that book actually just because I thought of what a silly book. Like, it seemed super interesting that somebody would even bother.
And then the layout of it was interesting as well. Like, they'd really gotten to a lot of thought to put it together. So
is there something about your job that you think would be interesting to the public that they may not know about it?
Perhaps the volume of material that comes through the library on any given day. Mm-hmm. We do have busier days, busier periods. For example, we're coming up to a busy period where bestsellers for vacation style reading is coming up. And then, of course, just before the holiday season in December, we get a huge push on bestsellers as well. But, you know, for example, on Wednesday, we get a delivery that takes us until Friday to finish.
I guess for me, the interesting thing is just there's this constant flow of in and out, right?
Absolutely.
And that never really abates, which you may not think of if you're in the public and you're out in a public library branch.
Yeah.
You're not seeing this huge work.
Yes. And I mean, similarly, when the books are on the shelf at the branch, you know, they go in, they go out, they go in, they go out. They're always constantly moving around.
Thank you very much, Cheryl. That was great.
Thank you.
Nothing like receiving a brand new book, eh?
Yeah, nothing like it.
I would like that job a lot, I think. Just hanging out and collecting all the new books and putting them out there. Constant new book smell. How can you beat that?
Seriously, it would be pretty sweet.
But now we have our pristine book, but it has no identifying marks that prove that it belongs to Toronto Public Library or anybody else.
Yeah, that's right. Like, when you think about it, when you get a library book, it looks different from another book because it's got a barcode on it.
A spine label that tells you if it's a fiction or nonfiction book. It's categorized by that. I'm just going back to cataloging a little bit.
Yeah, it tells you where to find it on the shelf and all that. And there's also often, if it's a hardcover book, it'll have like a plastic jacket on it.
Protective jacket.
Yeah, and someone's got to put all of that stuff on the books. And it's actually kind of fascinating to watch them because they're super fast, and they have all these specialized tools. They have like these bone folders, and they'll have a big stack of books next to them, and they'll just go like, and then the book is done. It has all this stuff on it. Now, there's a video
Oh, yes. The famous Fire and Fury video.
That's right. So we have a video. We're gonna link to it from the website. And it shows a processor getting a book ready. It's Fire and Fury. Do you remember that Trump book that was really big last year?
Yes.
And we had hundreds and hundreds of copies and thousands, I think, even of requests for it. And so the processors had to get through a huge shipment of books really fast. And you can see somebody's hands doing all this stuff to a book really quickly. And that person is the person we're going to be talking to next.
Hi, my name is Amy Liu. I'm with the processing department. I work as a CSA, Collection Service Assistant. I link the book virtually every day. That's the first thing we do. Sometimes we have to do finishing, and it's about an hour to 2 hours at the table. Finishing is when you come in after all the books have been linked. So you just have to put the barcodes on, jacket them if it needs to be jacket, and then send it out to distribution.
Can you tell us a little bit about what linked means?
Linking means is when the books come in, there's no barcode on them.
Okay.
So we use the barcode to link to each book.
What do you like best about your work or your job?
Actually, everything. I'm pretty new to this department.
Okay.
And so a lot of stuff I've been learning from the beginning. And it's from everything, from linking a book to different media, like not just books, is audiobooks, DVD, CD, and et cetera.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
You're welcome.
So something I wanted to mention as well is just there's a uniformity to all of the books. You may have noticed a certain distance that the spine label has to be when it's on a book. In certain places where all of these items are
designated. Very like finicky, precise work. And the people are really good at it, the people who do it.
So. They nail it. I was just saying, I can't even tie my shoelaces half the time, and they can.
And let the record show that Jason is in fact wearing pull-on boots.
I can't do it even now.
Right.
Anyway, our book, more or less, is complete.
Yep.
It has been selected.
Yep.
It has been acquired.
Yep.
It has been cataloged.
Yep.
It has been processed.
Yep.
Now, how do we get it from central processing to your local library, this bright and shiny new book?
As it happens, we spoke to somebody who was involved in that process as well. So we're next going to talk to Gobi in shipping.
My name is Gobi. My job title will be truck driver for distribution service at Toronto Public Library.
And can you take us through a day in your life? Kind of like, what do you do on a day-to-day basis?
So essentially, we deal with all the inter-transactions of the library system, from holes, returns that are to the other branches, to new materials that are going out to the branches. We basically circulate all the materials throughout the branch.
So you kind of are the ones delivering it, right?
Yes. We used to call ourselves the blood system of the library.
That's a good title. I like that. I should add that to the end of your title.
There you go.
What's something you really like about your job or the job that you do?
What I really like about it is the independence of the job. At the end of the day, you know, I have a self-accomplishment that what I need to do for the day is done.
What's something that maybe people don't know about your job or your role in TPL that you think might be interesting?
I would say the only thing that's not well known is, you know, sometimes when the weathers are bad, deal with the snowfalls, or because we deliver every day. And that's, to me, is the challenge of the job. When the weather's bad, you know, we got to worry about, you know, wheeling materials, handling them safely through snowstorms. So whether it's the rainstorms, that's the hardest part of the job. And the other hardest part would be just, you know, lifting, 200 to 300 boxes on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. That can eventually take a toll on your body. And, you know, I'd be lying to you if I tell you I'm starting to feel it.
Of course, when you're moving hundreds of items every day.
I don't even hit the gym anymore because I don't need to.
Cool. We thank you so much for taking the time with us.
Oh,
today.
It's a pleasure. Well, thank you for having me.
the books always must come through. I can testify as somebody who has been on the receiving end of these books that it's sometimes very difficult, and you do not envy watching them try and reel these books in without getting them wet or damaged some way in the most horrible Toronto weather that we sometimes get in the wintertime.
It's true. This is without these guys, you would not be getting your holds. So now we've got the book into the library.
Mm-hmm.
And this brings us to a whole other set of questions. So you, Jason.
Yeah.
You work in a library branch.
I work in the local branch, College and Shaw.
Yeah, that's right. So what do you do when the books come in?
So what happens is when you request a book, you ask for an item to be placed on hold, or new books or materials come in. Every day there is a delivery of gray boxes full of holds, new materials, and returned items. And we check each item in individually, and it goes on to our new bookshelf. That's providing that no one else has already requested it, because quite often when a new book does finally get to us, it goes right back out. Mm-hmm. At that point, if you have requested it or it is a hold, it will go onto the hold shelf. And then you will get a call or an email saying to come and pick it up. Or if not, and you just happen to wander into the branch and see a book that you want to check out, at that point, you are free to do that.
So there you have it. The books have traveled from the publisher through selection, acquisition, cataloging, receiving, processing, shipping, and sort of the last steps of handling at the branch level. We've kind of walked through the whole book process in a library.
That's not to say that we have covered everything, though.
No.
There's multilingual books.
Yep.
There is audiovisual materials, so the DVDs and CDs.
We haven't even touched on ebooks. Ebooks is huge. That's a whole, and e-audiobooks, that's a whole other thing that we should probably talk about at some point in the future.
All the databases that we have access to.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff and a lot of different responsibilities that are broken up that we didn't even talk about.
Get to. Yeah.
That we are definitely going to talk to, so keep your ears posted for that.
Yeah. And thank you for nerding out with us.
Jason Bazadian is a senior library assistant who can't get enough of that new book smell. Wendy Banks is a librarian and fan of roller coasters for books. Valerie, Mike, Cheryl, Kelly, Amy, and Gobi all play a part in getting books into your hands. Music by Highs. Shelve Under Podcast is a Toronto Public Library production. It is produced by Ted Belke, Wendy Banks, Michael Warner, Christina Wong, and Jason Bazadian, with production assistance by George Penayotu. For more Toronto Public Library podcasts, visit tpl.ca/podcasts.